not only our coalition forces, but also, you know, local Afghan and Iraqi forces and community members as well. The mission was quite challenging. It was dynamic and ever-changing, so we always had to be reactive to those changes. And part of that also was the operations tempo that was happening, especially during the periods of 2005 to about 2010, when we were really just going back-to-back on deployments. Families were stressed, and operators were stressed as well. So it was definitely a challenge.
What was the mission?
Predominantly, my teams were responsible for IED, basically destroying the IEDs, and then it actually transitioned into doing battlefield forensics on IEDs, where we actually didn't necessarily detonate them on the point. We tried to recover them so that we could tear them apart and figure out what was going on, who was the bomb maker, who was the network. And we would also go in and after weapons caches, the enemy weapons caches. And we would also respond to rocket attacks. So if a base got rocketed, we would try to go back and find the origin of that rocket so we could, again, get some battlefield forensics off of it and determine who was the perpetrator.
Yeah, is this a Russian missile? Is this an Iraqi missile? Is this from Iran?
So a lot of those weapons were either Iranian or Russian.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, wow. Going and digging up an IED, not to detonate it in place, but to take it apart and, you know, see where it came from, that does not sound like a pleasant afternoon in the park.
Wow.
It had its moments. Sheesh. That's for sure. We had our tactics, techniques, and procedures that we used to do it as safe as we possibly could. You know, we always had the threat of, you know, an ambush while we were out there doing it.
Sure, yeah.
Or one wrong step and it blowing up under your feet.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, our operators in this particular case from EOD, and then, you know, all the other forces on the battlefield had the same kind of threats as well. Mm. But if you found one IED, you can always expect to find others close to it, secondaries and tertiaries. So you always had to be aware of the other threats that surrounded you, as well as, you know, someone, you know, snipers and stuff like that. So the threats were real. The threats were ever present when we were out there on the battlefield.
Wow, that's crazy.
Wow. That's just so, so unbelievable. I can't even imagine. How many team members or comrades did you lose?
Personally, of my direct command, I was fortunate enough not to lose any of my team members. We did, unfortunately, lose some limbs, but we didn't lose any lives. However, I deployed to Iraq in 2007 to 2008 for a year, and I had a team member with me for that period of time. They got back and shortly later deployed to Afghanistan, and unfortunately lost their life in that one. So that one, that one hurts. Definitely remember him every day.
But you were in Afghanistan as well, as we were just saying.
Correct. Yeah. I have 3 tours to Iraq, 2 to Afghanistan.
Man. Okay. Well, here's another battle which you had to fight, but is not listed on this sheet. Okay, you're out there, you're digging out, you're taking sniper fire, you're playing with explosives, or not play with them, but handling explosives. You're under attack all the time. We'll go ahead and take this call.
Hold that thought. Thank you. Swap Shop, good morning. You're on the air.
Okay, I'm going to check that out.
All right, sweetie, and your number is 421-0297.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, again.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yep, 25 free concrete blocks, great for building project, or if you need some erosion control, call 421-0297. That's 421-0297. And that kind of ties in with what I was going to get to. As I was talking a minute ago about being under attack and being surrounded by people that are used to that and always on the alert for snipers and stuff, and you come back home and you're surrounded by people that are talking about spray painting bricks and and talking about how pretty their garden can be.
He's trying to be funny.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm literally
not
trying to be funny, because that's a battle all on its own and people don't realize it. Now, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. talking about because he lived through it.
Okay.
But you,
and you've been in service too, and I don't. Yeah.
But you don't, and that's the point I'm trying to
make. That's why you don't have the day off today, by the way.
Returning back from combat is a battle all by itself, and most 99% of the people don't understand that, but the veterans that have been there do. So tell us about that.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Mark. And the early on in the Iraq War and Afghanistan wars, when we were, you know, going through some significant, you know, combat in those regions, we would get on a plane to come home, and we would be home in usually less than 24, 36 hours from Iraq battlefield to Ramstein, Germany, and then on to back to the States and back to family. Mm-hmm. The transition was really quick. You know, you compare that back to World War II, where, if, you know, troops got on a ship and they...
It took a month to come back.
They're sitting there, you know, talking about the experiences with their comrades and not really coming back to family just yet. So we actually, around 2013, maybe 2011, the Air Force in particular saw this particular problem and created a transition assistance I forgot the name of it off the top of my head. It's been a minute, but it was basically a transition period where we stopped in Afghanistan for about a four-day period and had that really transition with the troops and our team as a really combat unit before we went back to our families.
Okay,
and that was a great program,
a buffer kind of thing.
Yeah, and it really helped out. I mean, we got to just decompress for a little bit before we got to our families, who were, you know, expecting us from how we were when we left.
Right,
and you're not going to be the same when you come back. It's
That's why I say I can't imagine what you've been through. I feel like I can pretty much imagine most anything, but I can't imagine this.
Yeah, and you've still got like-minded individuals at the American Legion.
Absolutely,
that y'all can, you know, if you got somebody that you know is digging holes in his back. In my generation, it was guys would go out and dig holes in their backyard because they knew that Charlie was coming under the wire, and they had to be prepared for it, and they couldn't shake that feeling. Mm-hmm. But when they talked to each other, you know, they could help transition from that. So y'all are still doing that at the Legion?
Absolutely. That's our purpose. We work together not only for folks that are members of the Legion, Legionnaires, but also for members of the community if they need some help.
And that's why he's here today. If you're joining us late, we are with United States Air Force Lieutenant Colonel retired Bill Frost. He is representing the American Legion Post 199 to tell us about a support group or support efforts for those of you that served in Afghanistan.
Yeah, so I think everyone's going to have a different take on their experience and how it transitions to what we've experienced in the last week with Afghanistan. And my first tour in Afghanistan, I was up in Mazar Sharif and responsible for an area of operation that went from Kunduz all the way to Gormak in the northern part of Afghanistan. And Kunduz was one of the first cities that the Taliban took back over when they were coming through. Which was kind of heartbreaking. I worked with a lot of folks there, even the locals. And I think, you know, the veterans that are out there, the Afghan veterans that mm-hmm. are experiencing kind of the thoughts of what's going on, just need to be aware that their feelings are what they have, and whatever feelings those are appropriate. You know, what I would shy away from is the idea that it was for naught. We had a
thank
mission.
Thank you. I get so frustrated.
I
apologize.
But it's a... we had a mission to do at the time,
yes.
And we all did to support different elements that were happening and different objectives that were going on. And now that objective has changed, and we need to make sure that we understand that, you know, just because we were there and the mission is resulting in what it resulted in, that, you know, our time there was not necessarily a failure.
You made a difference to those people in that time period, in that moment.
Correct.
No matter what's happening today.
Correct. Right. We have to control what we can control.
Right.
We did our mission when we were there.
Okay.
Policy and politics aside, the military went in and did the best they could with what was given to them. You know, and you can almost harken back a lot of ways to what Vietnam experienced mm-hmm. with, you know, mm-hmm. policy was driving military action. And, you know, so we controlled what we can control. And it's a very complicated and dynamic environment in Afghanistan with the government, which really wasn't legitimatized by the tribes that are really the population of that country. Mm-hmm. So it's important to, you know, understand that as well. But when we talk about what the American Legion is doing, coming back to that,
yes,
it's important to know that, that we are here to support the community, again, as a whole, not just the Legionnaires and the members of the Legion. Anybody who is struggling or just needs an ear to talk to and vent to, you can reach out to the American Legion. You can do that in a couple ways. One is via Facebook. If you send a message to the American Legion on Facebook, that goes to me and our secretary, Mike Bowman. We both monitor that, so feel free to reach out to us that way, and also via our website at the American Legion Post, Eastern Shore Post 199.
Okay, very good. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. Thank you, Bill. Swap Shop, good morning. You're on the air.
I have a...
We are still talking about the American Legion Post 199 and reaching out to help those that have served in Afghanistan try to deal with what's happening now. We have a retired Lieutenant Colonel Bill Frost with us. Thank you, Bill, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So folks can, I guess, like you said, Facebook message or email.
Yeah, let me give you the website for the post. It's Eastern Shore Post 199, no space. .com.
Oh, okay. It used to be AmericanLegion199.com. So it's EasternShorePost199.com.
That's correct.
Okay.
And you can contact any of the post commander, the chaplains on there as well. And we've also posted on Facebook a note, and we'll keep that going with contacts as well to reach out to.
Very good. And even though the building right now is not open, the beach activities, in fact, today's Thursday, so it's opening this afternoon, right?
That's correct.
The beach is open, what, Thursday and Friday, I think at 3, and Saturdays and Sundays at noon, with the tiki bar and all kind of activities. So you can support the American Legion by enjoying those activities, even though the building itself is still closed. Now, the commander, Jerry Garcia, said they're getting ready to release their request for proposal, or RFP, for architectural design services for the main Legion building rehabilitation. What can you tell us about that, Ethan?
Well, I do know some information. I was hoping Jerry would be here to have that conversation with you, but there are a lot of plans in place, and we are getting ready to move forward with beginning the restoration project, and we're still trying to raise funds, additional funds, to help support the full restoration. But I don't want to step too far ahead of what Jerry's working on and probably meeting with right now this second.
Right, okay. And we can get him in another time. He knows he has an open invitation here.
Mm-hmm. And if I could real quick clarify times for opening of the Tiki Bar.
Sure.
So today we're open at 4 p.m.
Okay.
And tomorrow we're open at 4 p.m. as well. And we're going to have Gravity Blinks is a band. Actually, it's open mic night Friday night, hosted by Gravity Blinks. And then the Tiki Bar opens at 3 p.m. on Saturday, where Sammy B is performing from 4 to 8. And that's my dog food truck's going to be on the ground.
Okay.
And then on Sunday, we open we open at 3 on Saturday with Gypsy Spark playing.
Oh,
from 4 to 8.
Okay.
And then that's my dog's food truck's going to be on there on the grounds as well, 4 to 8.
Okay, so it's 4 o'clock on Thursday and Friday now, and then 3 on Saturday and Sunday. Okay.